turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, really it's kind of a topical lesson today. But Joshua 24, verse 15, will kind of be the springboard for it. Very familiar passage, talking about choosing God, or choosing to love God. When I say choosing God, I'm talking about choosing God's way, choosing God's desires, His plans, His will, kind of all summed up in that. So I'll use that term, but I mean, generally speaking, choosing what God wants, choosing His ways, choosing to love Him, choosing to follow Him, choosing to serve Him, choosing God. It says here in verse 15 of Joshua 24, it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I want to emphasize here, he says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Choose you this day. This past week, going through the ordination process and the council, and something that stood out to me when we talked, and as I prepared, was God is sovereign, right? What does that mean? What does it mean that God's sovereign? What do you think? God's sovereign, that means He has all authority, He has all control, right? God is sovereign, He has all power, it's His creation. So, why don't we do what we do? Why don't we serve the Lord? Why don't we follow Him? Well, some people would say, well, God is all-powerful and He's decided that you are just going to sin. He decided that you're going to be the way you are. And that's not true by Scripture. We know there's something else. There's a human element that God has given to us. What is that? Free will. That's right. Free will. That's the only thing that really we have. That's the only thing we really can control. God has chosen to limit Himself in this one area where we have free will. We get to choose some things. So, why are we imperfect? Well, because God's given us a free will, and we've chosen, Adam first, has chosen to sin. But by giving us a free will, it's the only way that we can, that we have an opportunity to display true love or agape love, is through our will. That's the only way we're able to do that. If God didn't give us a free will, we couldn't do it, because agape love is based on a choice. And that's what we're talking about today, a choice, choosing God. I have 4 points today. First is, you have a reason to choose God. Reason, when I talk about reason, I think of it's based on something in the past. What's the reason we have to choose God? What do you think? You can talk. What's a reason? We need Him. That's a good reason. What's another reason? What do you think? We'd be lost without Him, right? Kind of goes hand in hand with we need Him. And what I have here is letter A is you're not your own. Kind of goes hand in hand with all of those things. You're not your own. The reason we need to choose God is, first of all, we're not our own. Paul was talking specifically to servants here. But he gives the principle. He says, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Yes, you are a servant to men, but you're not serving these men. He says, don't serve them. Serve the Lord through these men. But you're bought with a price, he says. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Here it is again. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what's a reason why we should choose God? Well, letter A, you're not your own. We're not our own. What's another reason? Well, I have here, and I'm sure we can come up with more reasons, but God loves you. There's a reason to choose God, because God loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Talking about choosing God. Why should we do it? What's the reason? The reason. We're not our own, because God loves us. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. Listen to these verses. Think about them as I read it. It says, for Thou hast possessed my reins. This is the psalmist talking. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So, saying God knew beforehand, he fashioned me, he planned my life, he planned who I would be as far as my person, yet being unperfect. He knew it. He knew who he would be. Not that he would plan his life. He had a plan for his life. Here he says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Again, the idea is the number of the sand, it's innumerable, innumerable. You pick up some sand in your hand, how many grains of sand are in your hand? Well, we don't know, but say there's a million. Just say there's a million grains. Okay, well, how much is on the beach? How much is on the beaches of the world? He says, more than the sands. That's the thoughts, how many thoughts he has to us. How precious are thy thoughts unto me? Again, God loves us. Because God loves us, we ought to choose him. We ought to love him. Letter C, we should love him. Consequently, 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Philippians 3, 8 through 11. I have a lot of verses, so I'm just going to read a portion. It says here, it says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Colossians, he says, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, he says here, talking about the gospel, he says, whereof I am made a minister, talking about the gospel, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and Philip, that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, for his body's sake, which is the church. What is he saying here? In Philippians, he's talking about, he's given up all these things. Why? He wanted to know Christ. He wanted to serve him. He wanted to know the fellowship of his sufferings. Colossians talks about he's filling up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in his flesh for his body's sake. Meaning Christ has done all this for me. I want to equal that. Now he couldn't, but he wanted to, and he was filling up that which was behind. We should love him. So what are the reasons why we should choose God? Well, we're not our own. Letter A. Number two is he loves us. Number three, or letter C, we should love him. That's why. That's the reason why we should choose God, his path. We're talking about, when I say choose God, some of you came in later, choose God, we're talking about more broadly his ways. Choose to love him, choose to follow him, choose to seek him, choose to please him, choose to dedicate our life, our purpose, our thoughts, our abilities, all we have to God. When I say choose God, that's all in there. And the reasons we talked about. Number two, you have a purpose for choosing God now. So I think of reason as past, what God has already done, and I think of purpose as right now. We have a purpose right now to choose God, to choose his ways. What is our purpose now in following the Lord? What do you think? To serve. Yes, that's it. There you go. What's something else? There's to serve him, and also there's sanctification, that part too. Kind of both of those things. Letter A, you have work to do to serve him. You have work to do, right? If you exist, God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for you if you exist. Now, some people won't accept the Lord, and God has a purpose for them as well. He will get glory no matter what man chooses. And Psalm, I believe it's Psalm, tells us about that. Actually, Proverbs 16:4 says, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. The Lord will get glory through all people. But he has a purpose for your life. He doesn't want to. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, he says. Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We're created for his pleasure. We have work to do, right? So if we exist, God's got a purpose for your life. So where do we draw the line? How much is enough work? Where do we stop with the work? Put in 8 hours a day, and that's good. Where does it stop? I think of the unprofitable servant. Remember the unprofitable servant? I guess it's the parable of the servants. And they were doing what they were supposed to do. You remember the parable where Jesus spoke about the servants who went out in the field and worked all day. He says, when they come back, if the master says, I want you to serve me before you have your supper, is the master going to thank him? No, because that's his duty. That's his job to do. He's unprofitable, meaning he hasn't done anything extra. He's just done the basics. You know, and that's good. We ought to do what we're supposed to do, right? There's that sense where you're doing what you should be doing. Luke 17:10, there's the verse for that. It says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. I'm reminded of Romans 12:1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, get it, which is your reasonable service. So this is just the basics. You give your life to God, that's the basics. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. So is that good? Do we just stop there? Well, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do and not a bit more. I give a tenth of all that I earn, but we don't give any more. Or, you know, I come to church, I read my Bible, I pray once a day. Is that enough? If we're just doing it to do what we're supposed to be doing, quote unquote, we're unprofitable servants. But Matthew 25, look at verse 14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1. To every man according as to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So the master got his servants together, said, here you go, according to your ability, I'm going to give you some things, and I want you to take care of them, and I'm going to go on a trip. And he went on his trip. Verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. So he was wise, he made profit on it. He traded and he got more value for his master. Verse 17 says, and likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he, which had received the 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore that talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So in this parable here, the Lord has given, the master has given to his people some talents. And it's different for each servant according to their ability. Some took it and were profitable. They used it profitable. One didn't. One didn't. And the Lord was displeased with him. So I know these aren't parallels, these parables. He's actually talking about two different things in them. But in the first one, they did which was their duty to do. And that's good, but that's not thankworthy. Is there more that they could do, perhaps? Can we take what God's given us, like these here, and do something with it, make it profitable? Whatever talents you have, some people are good with woodworking, some with other things. Some people are good with music, or I don't know what it is. God's given everybody talents in some ways. And so what do we do with these things? We become unprofitable servants if we don't use them for the Lord. So God has given us work to do. We have a purpose now in choosing God because God's given us work to do. If we exist, He has a purpose for our life. And where do we draw the line? Well, I'm just going to do that which is my duty to do, and that's it. That's not right. We need to make increase. We need to be profitable servants. We can go above and beyond. It's not, oh, I gave my 10% and that's all. I'm not saying that that's wrong either. But to have that attitude is wrong, where I just, this is what I've got to do. I'm not going to do any more. So we have work to do, letter A. Letter B, you have a character to become, right? Work to do, a character to become. And what is that character? Who are we trying to be like? Jesus Christ, that's right. I was listening to a book. It's not really a book. It's more of kind of like lectures. But this fellow has a lot of good things, but a lot of bad things as far as good. He talks about making money. It's really more than making money. It's more about being a man of character is a lot of it. And he takes the principles, which are biblical principles, and then he applies it to making money. And so he kind of misses out, and I'll talk about that in a second, misses out on the important things in life, and he makes it about making money. The scripture says, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. So I don't even know if he was a Christian. He talked about the Bible. Let me see if I can get that back. But he would say something, which is really good. Don't major on the minors, right? Don't major on the minors. People, it doesn't matter what it is. He talked about in business, people would major on minor things. You need to major on the majors. Well, when it talks about Christianity, it talks about our life, don't major on the minor things. Often we major on those things. Many believers are not successful in their growth because they spend so much time on minor things, right? You remember Matthew 6:33, what does it say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, what are the things? Well, the raiment, the shelter, your needs. If you seek the Lord, He'll provide for those needs, right? We need to major on the majors. If we seek the Lord, He'll supply needs. Many believers are worried about physical things. Scripture tells us that's a minor thing. Oh, what am I going to do? How are we going to pay the bills? How am I going to have clothes? How am I going to have food? What are we going to do? Those are all minor things, Scripture says. We need to be faithful. We need to work. We're not saying that. Scripture's clear on that. But God says that's a minor thing. The major thing is to seek the kingdom of God. And if you do that, all those things will be added. It'll fall into place. Too few believers major on eternal treasures, and they miss the major things of life. That's the major things of life. Mark 8:36-37. I think of this verse when I think of this fella who I was listening to. It says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul?" Sure, he was successful. He's a millionaire. That's great. But there's no profit in that. We have something greater. Now, we won't lose our soul if we're saved, but we'll lose, there'll be loss of reward. 1 Corinthians makes it clear, saved as by fire, loss of reward. There's no reason we should. Don't major on the minor things. Major on the major things, which is to seek the kingdom of God, to do what He wants to do, wants us to do. So where do we draw the line on that in becoming like Christ? Where do we draw the line? How much is enough, right? Where do we stop? I've heard an illustration of how long do you let a baby, you know, how do you let a baby, how long do you let a baby try to walk? What's the cutoff? Do you wait 12 months? What if they're not doing it by 2 years? Do we stop? Is it 3 years? Do we stop? Where do you stop? You don't stop, right? You say you got to keep going until you walk. No matter how long it takes, you just keep going until you do it, right? How long or how tall do trees grow? They grow as tall as they can with what they have. They don't just stop, oh, I'm done here. They keep going until they can't grow, right? We should be the same way, right? How long do you try to be like Christ? How long should you try? Well, until you're there, right? Until you're there. Now, we won't attain to perfection on this earth. Why is that? What do you think? What are some reasons why we won't be perfect yet on this earth? Sin nature, okay.
Our environment.
The environment. We've got to save the environment. No, that's not what he's talking about. Yeah, the world. Well, because of the exceedingly high standard of Christ's character, right? First of all, we've got so far to go. Shortness of our life is part of it. We just don't have a lot of time. And if we could become like Christ while 80 years of our life, that wouldn't put Christ's character very high, really. Because of sin's damage on our flesh, the world, we struggle with these things. That's why we won't become perfect. There's not enough time. Christ's character is way too hard or high, and we've got sin problems here. But the truth is we will attain to Christ's character. We will, because God has promised that. He promised we would, and because He will perfect us by the Holy Spirit. But it's important to note, this time on this earth is important, and our time of growth is important, and it's important that we become like Christ now. You know why? Because this is a test. We live in a test. We live in a race. You remember 1 Corinthians 9 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" Paul says, "So run, that ye may obtain." He's not saying third place. He's not saying that you may finish the race. He's saying, run, that you're gonna get the prize. Number one, he wants you to run with zeal, with ambition, that I'm going to serve the Lord. It's not about competition. It's not what he's talking about. But it's the mindset of I'm going to run this race to serve the Lord with my life. And I'm going to run the best I can, like the tree. I'm going to go as high as I can. I'm going to go as far as I can. I'm going to be like Christ as much as I can. That's the proper attitude that we ought to have, like the baby. We're going to keep going until we make it, no matter how long it takes. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," talking about all of the people of faith in chapter 11, says, there's all these people here. There's all these examples. Just like they did. We need to lay aside every weight and the sin that's just so easily beset us. And here it is. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Again, we're in a race. This life is a test, right? And if you think about it, God is enabling us, so graciously so, by keeping us on this earth, He's enabling us to show Him the love that He deserves. If He took us to heaven, it wouldn't be as meaningful, would it? Right now it's meaningful because we have opposition, we have struggles, we have things, and we have to learn, and it's a little difficult in a sense. And we have flesh because it's so difficult. Let's flip it on, instead of saying, oh, this is so hard, this is an opportunity to show the Lord how much we love Him. That's why we should not, don't. Our time on this earth is actually precious. There's no greater time. Well, before I get to that, Hezekiah. You remember Hezekiah, Rabshakeh came against Jerusalem. Hezekiah is all locked in, and Rabshakeh's talking about, hey, we're going to destroy you. Don't trust in the Lord. Don't trust in these things. In fact, the Lord's helping us, and just speaking against Israel. These are the Assyrians, and they're going to destroy Israel, and... Excuse me, I'm jumping to a different story. That happened, but before that happened, this is when Hezekiah had sinned. He didn't sin. The Lord told him that he was going to die. There it is. Erase everything I just said. Now, the Lord told Hezekiah that he was going to die. He says, get your house in order, you're going to die. He was only, I think, 39 years old at the time, if you can add it up and you can see. He had 15 more years later. And he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, please spare me. I've tried to serve you. Will you give me some more time? And the Lord told Isaiah, go back. And Isaiah went back and said, because you prayed, I've seen you. I've seen your tears. I've heard your prayer. I've answered it. 15 more years. And Hezekiah, he makes a prayer to the Lord, and perhaps it was sung in the temple later, made into a song. But Isaiah 38, verse 18 says, for the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. So he was making an argument here. He's saying, if I die, I can't praise you anymore on this earth, in a humanly perspective. I can't serve you, really, down here. I can't give you glory. We see later, he didn't carry through with it. He says, I'm going to praise you, I'm going to serve you. And we see he failed in that. He let the people of Babylon came over, and he was filled with pride, and he wanted to show them his whole house and all his treasures. Isaiah said, what do they see? Well, I've showed them everything. He says, Babylon's going to take it all. But here in Second Chronicles 32, it says, in those days Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. So he said in his prayer, you know, if I were to be alive, I would praise you and I would serve you. And you see that he didn't really do that. He didn't render the benefit that was done unto him. That's a negative example. But God is enabling us with our time on this earth, like Hezekiah had enabled 15 more years to serve the Lord. He didn't do it. We have the opportunity to serve the Lord now with the time we have on this earth. Now, there's no greater time to show love to God than now, right? When we call it tough, right? And getting tougher. There's no greater time to show God's love than when it's hard, right? John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Here it is. Don't despise the day you live in. First of all, you can't do anything about it. Second of all, God's will is that you live through it. And this is an opportunity. Embrace the opportunities that God gives you to express love to him. Things aren't the way we choose, you know. I don't like wearing a mask. But hey, that's not the point. It's not about you. It's an opportunity to show God's love by being obedient to his word, by understanding I get to serve him on this earth. Acts 5:40-42, you remember the disciples were taken in by the council, and here they say, and to him they agreed, talking to one of the Pharisees that spoke and said, hey, if this is of God, we can't stop it. If it's not of God, it's not going to prosper. So they agreed to him, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. The disciples had a different attitude towards the day they lived in. By the way, they lived in a worse day than we live in. But they rejoiced that they had the opportunity to serve the Lord and even to suffer for his sake. As Paul said, filling up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So, when we actually conform to Christ's character, when do we actually conform to Christ's character, right? When does that happen? There's a question mark. It's when we conform to all of his character, right? So we don't stop. We keep going. It's not enough to say, well, you know, I try to be a nice person, and I don't cheat, I don't steal, I don't lie, I try and be kind. That's not good enough. There's further to go. Don't stop. Don't feel like, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. And we judge ourselves by ourselves. Don't stop. We don't reach it there yet. So all of that to say, we have a purpose now in choosing God. We need to choose God. Again, this is a will. This has to do with the will. It's really important. We don't have abilities beyond our will, really, only what God gives us by grace. Number three, so not only do you have a purpose or a reason, you have a purpose. Number three, you have a goal in choosing God. So the reason is past. I look at the purpose as now, and the goal is yet to come. And yet, some of these things, they're progressive. And there's more things you could say, but I have three things. Letter A, to please the Lord. There's the goal. We want to please the Lord in all areas of life. And so I'm not going to be perfect in that yet, but I am striving for that. There's the goal. Keep your eyes on the prize, right? John Truman told his son, Harry Truman, on the farm, when you're plowing, you're plowing down those great big fields, look off in the distance, find a tree, and look at that tree. Just focus on that tree as you plow. Your lines will be straight if you focus on that one object out there, right? Isn't that the same for a Christian? We have goals. Focus on the person of Jesus Christ that same way. You want a straight line. Spiritually speaking, we have to focus on the Lord and focus on pleasing the Lord. Remember, I read Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Thy pleasure. Again, everything. That's us too. Created for His pleasure. John 8:28-29 says, When Jesus said, or when said Jesus unto them, that was a misprint. This is what Jesus said. It says, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, talking to these people that were speaking against Him, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of Myself, but as My Father hath taught Me, I speak these things. And He that sent Me is greater, or is He that sent Me, is with Me. The Father hath not let Me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. There is Jesus' testimony. He always did those things that please God and God the Father. And as Jesus is our testimony or our witness or our, that's not the word, as our example, we ought to please the Father. That was His goal. Always those things that please Him. So to please the Lord, there's a goal. How about to know the Lord? He's infinite, so how can we know the Lord? Well, one step at a time. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. He wanted to understand Christ. He wanted to know God in His person, in His character, in His ways. So to know the Lord, to please the Lord, to know the Lord, letter C, to commune with the Lord, and to commune with Him better, in a more personal way, a closer fellowship. Psalm 27, verse 4, you remember it says, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. There it is, singular goal. One thing have I desired. There's only one thing I desire, and I'm going to seek after it. What is it? It says that I may behold, or that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? Why do you want to dwell in the house of the Lord? It says, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple, to commune with the Lord. So we have a goal in choosing God. We have a reason. It's our reasonable service. We have a purpose because we have work to do and we have a character to become. We have goals. Number four, you have the ability to choose God. So not only do you have a reason to choose God, not only do you have a purpose to choose God, not only do you have a goal in choosing God, but you have the ability to choose God. Some people feel like they get all messed up spiritually because they get their emotions out of whack. And I've been there to maybe on a small scale, but especially as a younger and as a teenager, you're trying to sort through life. You're trying to figure out what's right, what's wrong, what direction, how do you know God? All of these questions. And you kind of get out of whack emotionally. And people get into the touchy-feely. But we have to come back to, what does it come back to? We have a will, and we need to choose God. We need to choose God's way, and God sorts things out for us as we choose Him, as we seek Him. He'll sort everything out. But we have the ability to choose God. Now, we talked about God has complete power, right? But He's limited Himself. He chose to limit Himself in particularly one way here. We're talking about man's free will. He limits Himself for man's free will. God wants all to be saved, right? So why aren't all saved? It's because he's limited himself because he wanted man to choose. God wants all to follow him. So why don't all follow him? Because God's limited himself in that man must choose. God wants all to love him, but he's limited himself in that man must choose. There it is. There's the human element. It's not about doing. We'll talk about it in a second. It's about choosing. Choosing. That's where it starts. You don't do until you choose. So God's given us a free will. We need to ignore the excuses, right? They don't matter. The excuses don't matter. Because when you look at the excuses, you'll find that all the excuses aren't your responsibility. They're God's. You think of, well, inability. You know, I can't do it. I can't serve the Lord. I can't speak to that person. I can't do whatever it is. I can't quit my job. I can't stop doing this. I don't have the ability to serve the Lord. I can't sing. I can't play. I can't do this. I don't know how to do that. I just don't have money. I can't give to the work of the Lord. That excuse doesn't matter. Who gives you the ability? It's God, right? Remember Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, maybe you say, well, I have a lack of resources. I don't have enough. I can't serve the Lord because I don't have anything to serve him with. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Again, that's not your responsibility. God gives you the resources. In fact, he says he's given you all things you need. Well, I need help. I don't have help. I'll need help in this. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Again, a lack of help? That's not your responsibility. That's God's. A lack of acceptance. People, they won't accept me. Well, again, here, this is free will of man. Some will not. Probably most will not. And this is, a lot of these things, this is what Moses was saying to God. In Exodus 4:1, he talks about that. But God is able to show his power and to give you the authority of his word. Again, it's up to people to decide if they're going to choose the Lord or not. But again, that's not up to you. Lack of acceptance, you can't do anything about that, really. That's not your responsibility. A lack of success, I won't be successful. Anything I try for the Lord is going to fall flat. Whatever it is. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God can take a failure and turn it into something great. Perhaps it's mostly a learning experience, but God is able to do all things, whether it's successful or not. Again, that's not your responsibility, whether something's successful or not. Your responsibility at the basic level first is to choose God, that I'm going to serve him, that I'm going to love him, that I'm going to follow him, that I'm going to give him everything I have. These aren't your responsibilities. There's a lack of opportunity. I just don't have the opportunity to serve him. You know, there's not really an opening that I could do anything in the church, or, you know, I don't have an opportunity to talk with people in my job. I'm not with people or whatever it is. Again, the opportunity, that's not your responsibility primarily, right? Proverbs 24:11-12. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, does not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? There is opportunity out there, but that's not our responsibility. God will give the opportunity. So we need to choose to follow God, right? Choose to follow God. God's given us the ability. He's given us the free will to choose to follow God. We need to love him as much as you can. Study him with all you can. Obey him the best you can. Serve him the most you can. Give him all you have, right? And I know those things sound like actions. But actions are not reality without a choice, right? Yes, you follow through. If you choose you're going to do something, you follow through with it. I think about myself personally. I've gained weight since I've been married. I was 145, and I've gained like 20 pounds since I was married, and it's overweight, and I know it. And so I had to make a decision. What am I going to do? And I've started to do some things to help with that. You know, got to watch what you eat. You need to exercise a little more. I try and run. I run every other day. And you just have to choose to do it. You know, it's going to take a point where you're going to choose that I want to do this and carry through with it. And it's not just a one-day thing. It's an everyday deal. Choose to do it. You don't need to be doing. We get busy. I need to be doing stuff. You need to be choosing, right? Start with the choosing. I'm going to choose to serve the Lord, and then the rest will come into place. But we have to get back. You know, you get busy with, I've got to do my devotions. No. You don't do your devotions. I've got to, you know, do this thing. You know, I got to sing. I got to go to choir practice and do that. It's not about doing. It's about choosing to serve the Lord. What you are now, you chose to be last year. And what you will be next year, you choose to be today. Your choices, and you won't see the results right away, right? I start running one day, and I haven't lost 10 pounds yet. I've got to do this. And if I'm consistent, you'll lose weight, right? Same thing with the Christian life. You are who you are becoming. You are now who you are becoming. That makes sense. Thank you. Have been becoming. So, what you will be next year, you choose to do today. It's important to note, sometimes our chooser isn't where it should be, right? Pastor talks about that, the wanter. I think that's great. The wanter. And our wanter's messed up. I want this, I want that, and we struggle with it. But we can want to change our wanter. We still have a free will. Even though we struggle with the flesh, we can seek the Lord. God's gracious. He'll give us strength over our desires. But we have to choose to want the strength over our desires. So there's many things that could be said. Many things that could be said. Number one, we have a reason. We have a reason to choose God. We're not our own, right? We're not our own. God loves us, and we ought to love Him. Number two, we have a purpose right now for serving Him. Why? We have things to do. If you exist today, God's got a purpose for your life. And we shouldn't just limit it to, this is what I'm supposed to do and nothing else. I know we don't say that, but sometimes we act that way. We kind of put God on the, you know, on this burner over here, but we don't let it submerge, or we don't let it permeate, that's the word, all of our life. We just say, I've done my duty here, and now I can go do my other things. So we have a reason, we have a purpose, we have a goal. And you can put many things there to please the Lord, to know the Lord, to commune with the Lord. If we keep our eyes on the goals, this is my goal, that'll change the way you do things. That'll change the way you have your devotions. Change the reason why you come to church. Change the reason why you sing in the choir. That'll change the reason why you talk with people. That'll change the reason why you have tracks on you when you go out. It'll change a lot of things when you keep the goals in mind. So you have a reason, you have a purpose, you have goals, and lastly, you have the ability. God's given you that ability to choose Him, and you can do it. You can choose Him. He'll give the grace to make it happen, to make it work, but you're responsible for the chooser, and we have to choose the Lord. Many things could be said. Psalm 18, verse 1, the psalmist says, I will love Thee. O Lord, my strength. There it is. He determined, I will do it. Joshua 14:15 says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So that's what we got to do. We have to remember, don't get into the touchy-feely and how I feel today. Get into the, remember, I've got to choose. Sometimes I don't feel a certain way. It doesn't matter. I'm going to choose to serve the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, and I thank you for your grace that enables us to serve you, enables us to follow you. We pray that you would bless us today as we sing and we pray and we listen to your word. May you be pleased by it all. I pray you'd change us, help us to choose to do what's right, to choose to serve you and love you with all our heart and all we can. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.